Yes, let me first of all thank my co-author, Leah Borma, without whom I would not be able to do these things. She keeps everything running and makes sense out of all this stuff that I try to throw at her in the field here. So I do want to thank her right off the bat. You know, most of the growers that are growing corn in North Carolina have one question: how can I get higher yields? And of course, one of the things that they oftentimes do is ask, what is it that I need to put together to make maximum yield? And maximum yield is important. As I oftentimes tell them, it's a multiplier. Even in the day and age that we are in, with corn prices being lower here in the last several months, well, I oftentimes say to grower meetings, if you can grow 200, 250 bushel corn per acre consistently, do you really care what that price is? And even though they say yes, they do, well, in essence, they can still make money doing that. Now, the real question that comes along with this is, if we're going to get these kind of yields, we want a component to contribute to those kind of yields. In other words, these components that we have in these systems have to make some difference in there and have a high likelihood of increasing yield. Or we could select inputs every once in a while that actually reduce our risks, such as drought-tolerant hybrids have the potential to do in corn cropping systems today. The other thing that drives this conversation, of course, is these very high yields, like such as the Hula Brothers in southeastern Virginia. There back in March of 2004 made 300 bushels. Now they're up over 400 bushels here. Growers want to know, what is it that they're doing that they're capable of making these kind of yield levels? So with that in mind, we thought about how was it that we could go about conducting a study that would allow us to look at maximum corn yields and yet separate components that we thought were important into categories where we could recognize the value of each of those components. So we looked at several components, and today I'll talk about some of these, such as advances in hybrids, higher plant populations, starter fertilizer, nutrient seed treatments, nitrogen management, and fungicides, as some of the components that we felt were consistent with what the Hulas were doing or the Colors were doing, and that we thought would contribute. We had the objectives in this project, of course, of looking and determining the contribution of those practices into high management systems and high yield systems, and to identify those that really had the potential for maximizing yield. And I'm showing you here a picture of these systems here with the kinds of practices stacked together there that went into each of those plots there. We did it using a deductive system study, and in doing so we had 12 different site years over the last three seasons. We conducted this study on 12 different site years. I've got the planting dates highlighted there in parentheses. They represented a wide range of soil types across North Carolina. A fairly good silt loam soil there in the eastern part of the state, a Belhaven muck, which is a unique soil to northeastern North Carolina at two locations, a Goldsboro sandy loam, which is typical of coastal plain across the eastern United States, and of course Piedmont locations with Cecil clay loam soil in the western part of the state. Again, interested in finding out whether these practices would work consistently across different environments and different soil types. All of these experiments were in 30-inch rows. We did a complete weed control program to try to get them at the optimum management levels there in terms of weed control. We also used sites where the farmers had already applied P and K to soil test levels. pH was in the optimum range. And with the exception of some plots where we changed nitrogen approaches in those plots, all plots received 230 pounds of nitrogen per acre using 30% UAN. So that's the type of background to the study here. Here are some of the factors that we used in these studies over the years there. Particularly hybrids. In the first year of the study there, we used the DeKalb hybrid, which was an older standby hybrid that had been around for 10 years, compared to some of the newer hybrids, including a hybrid there that Hula's used in their study. We, in 2013, we were no longer able to get that older hybrid, so we combined some other hybrids, including the Aquamax from Pioneer, into this study here. And here, just in recent years, why we included another high-yielding hybrid out of the Dynagrope selection. The management practices that went along with these hybrids then we're fairly consistent on some accounts, particularly in seeding rates. We used the comparison between a 33,000 seeding rate, the seeds drop per acre, versus 43. 33 is what we would recommend as a standard practice in North Carolina. We did that in all three of these years, with the exception of one site in 2013, where in this year we found out that was too many seeds to drop at that site, so we made a change there. We tried to use different approaches to starter fertilizer. In the first year, we used a high rate of 11-37-0 in a 2x2 band and added a 3-18-18 in an in-furrow application, a fairly stiff rate of early fertilization. In the second year, we dropped made that 2x2 fertilization a standard practice, only a 10-gallon rate, and used the 3-18-18 as a comparison there, just to see whether that 3-18-18 was contributing much to that. We did use, in some cases, a seed treatment in the last 2 years of this study. In the first year, we used a slow-release nitrogen as part of this, and then we, in all 3 years, we had a fungicide component to this study. This is what it looked like. Six hybrids in this case are the main plots, and within each of the main plots, why we have either a standard management, which consists of none of those practices, just a standard 33,000, no starter fertilizer or a low rate of starter, no fungicide, and so forth, versus all of those practices combined, what we call this high management, and then we use deduction. We dropped out each one of those practices for the remaining treatment, so that one factor was left out, so that we can judge or evaluate the contribution of that factor into this study. So this is what I refer to as a deductive system study in order to get at. Not only did that high management work, but if it did work, what was the component that contributed most to its success there? Here's what we found. We did at each location, we used a proc mixed approach to a model there with a slip plot design. We used a contrast statements to look at each of these components and in relationship to the high management, or in the case of the high management, a contrast between high management and the standard system here. In about seven out of the 12 site years, while we had a significant hybrid by management system interaction, in almost all of the years we had a hybrid response, with the exception of here this last year at Sampson County, and the same thing could be said about management systems. We had some kind of significant response in almost every site year in management systems here. Now, here's how I'm going to present this. It's going to be a little different from what you may have seen in many presentations. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put locations within a year across the top of this. Within these locations, I'll have either the intensive or standard management, or I'll have the component against the intensive management here. I'll have the hybrids down the side here. And wherever I have two boxes, two practices side by side, highlighted in that orange box there, that means there was a significant difference between them. So in this case, I'm comparing intensive management, all of the practices against standard management, and you can see in 2012 across these four sites here how often that the intensive management had a significant advantage, or in some cases, disadvantage. There are some cases here where there was a significant disadvantage to utilizing the high management system. And in this case at Sampson County, and I will not have time to look at it intensely, but that was due to the fact that that high plant population was too high for that site. That literally too much water was used. We saw yields decline with this hybrid, tall Pioneer 2088, very growthy hybrid at that site. We also saw some yield decline, although not significant at that site there. You can note a couple of things here. First of all, we achieved some very high yields there in this muck soil in Pamlico County, yields over 300 bushels from the intensive management, and the same from that Cape Fear silt loam soil there in Pasquotank County. We had very good yields at Hyde County, and what we would classify on a dry, without irrigation, on a Goldsboro silt sandy loam soil, not half bad yields even in Sampson County in that season there. This is 2014 data. Again, the same comparisons are being made here, and again, you can see how often that we had significant differences at each of these sites. Again, I'll point out here's the Cecil clay loam soil in the Piedmont region. Again, some very, very high yields in this intensive management system here in that site, as well as some pretty decent yields in most other systems. Not always did we have the highest yield in the intensive management system that was significantly different from standard practices. That's interesting to me at that location there. Here's 2013, and again, a comparison of between how often we made a difference with the intensive management practices in 2013. The reason I've left this site, or that left this site year until last, is because we found that there were some other useful ways to look at this data, and that was from the economic standpoint. If you took a look at economics here, we were risking $83.55 more an acre to put those intensive practices, such as higher plant populations, fungicides, the use of a fairly intensive starter fertilizer package there, all together in that. We needed that $5 corn, an 18.6 bushel per acre yield increase to break even. How often did that occur? You can see it occurred less often than we actually had significant yield differences here. In other words, the combination of practices, although they made a difference, yeah, 3 minutes, this is going to get quick, isn't it? Even though they made a difference, it statistically hurt your pocket severely. And so from that, we learned a lot about looking at these practices by incorporating some economics. Let me just run through some of the contribution of these factors. Starting with plant population, this is 33 versus 43,000 in 2013. Again, this is the intensive management at the higher population. Now I'm just using the slightly lower population. How often did that population contribute? You can see it contributed frequently and was most often associated with the high yields in each of these sites here. If I looked at the economics, I needed 7.5 bushels per acre to break even at that, to use that 10,000 more seeds. How often did that occur? A lot. Population was one of the main factors in all 3 years that led to the higher yield levels and was a major contributor. How about starter fertilizer? This is what it looks like at the Sampson location. Certainly better early growth with some of that added fertilizer in furrow. Here's how often that we had in 2013, and this is representative of the other years in this aspect, how often we had a significant difference. Not as often as I would have liked for the investment we made there, or at least with the investment I felt we made at $22 to $25. We needed 5.5 bushels, again, at $5 corn. I know it's not $5 today. I'm hoping. I know there's a lot of farmers hoping it'll get back up there, too. Anyway, how often would $5 corn make that profitable? Well, fairly often, and interestingly enough, there's where you can see some of these hybrids that benefited most from some early fertility more consistently across, and we saw this across all three seasons in this data here, such as that decap 64-69 almost always needs some starter fertilizer to reach optimum yield levels. How about nutrient seed treatments? Even less of a time did we find significant differences between the use of a Pendolex, a nutrient seed treatment, versus no Pendolex in this study here. Only 4 out of 12 times in this situation here, but at only 2.3 bushels to the acre that needed to break even, how often did that occur? Actually, quite often. Again, comes back to some of the things we've heard earlier about fungicides on crop. Sometimes you get enough yield increase consistently to make this practice look fairly attractive to growers. And then, of course, the great question in corn today is how often do we get a response from fungicides here? This is, again, I'm just using one of the three-year comparisons here to give this illustration. But here we only had 4 times where we had a significant yield increase by using a fungicide at this site. That was fairly typical across the data set. Fungicide only worked every once in a while, We needed 3.1 bushels. Now, this was fungicide applied at B7. If I was doing this as a separate application, that cost would have had to been much higher than that, and that 3.1 bushel would have had to been higher. But here's how often it made a difference economically in these studies here. So you can see some power utilizing a deductive management approach here in both of recognizing some of these practices that lead to higher yield and also being able to look at each component separately and see what that contribution was. As you can see here, one of the biggest contributions was plant pod. No big surprise, but it was surprising how consistent it was and how important it was whether you made the right decision in most of these cases or in Sampson County case you made the wrong. It could either help you very much or hurt you very badly. The second most important factor was the use of that early fertilizer, even 5 gallons in furrow of extra fertilizer tended to make a significant difference in these sets. To a less extent, why we had increases due to nutrient seed treatments and the fungicides tended to be the factor that was least attractive as far as increasing yield. With that, I'll be happy. I think I've used up my time as well.
Thank you very much.